ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नाम श्रेष्ठं मनमपि शचीपुत्रमत्र स्वरूपं रूपं तस्याग्रजमुरुपुरीं माथुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशम् प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथित कृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः परकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनतन्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्विताश्च हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। डिस्कसिंग अबाउट एटीट्यूड in pilgrimage, and if we consider that our whole human life is meant to be a pilgrimage back to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then our whole attitude toward life, our whole attitude toward everything is the key, as Srila Prabhupada writes in his preface to the Nectar of Instruction, that advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the performer. So to really cross over out of this material world, one doesn't have to only go to the place, but one has to go there mentally also. Not just physically. Now, in going to Vrindavan, anyone can get a ticket, get on a train, and go there. But actual going to Vrindavan is Bishoy Charya Kobe Shuddha Hobe Man Kobe Hamaharabha Sri Vrindavan. When the mind is purified by giving up desires for sense gratification, then it's possible to see Vrindavan, and then over and above that, Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoibe Akuti Tabe Hama Bujboshe Jugala Puriti. Narottam Das is desiring that I will be very anxious, not just for giving up sense gratification, but the positive side, to follow in the footsteps of Rupa and Raghunath Goswami. Srila Prabhupada renders this as when I'll be eager to study the books of the six Goswamis, then I can begin to understand the pastimes, the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Krishna is like a kalpa vriksha, so if we want material boons from him, he can also give them. But he generally gives them, or he deputes the demigods to do that for him. Kankshanta karmana siddhim yajanta iha devataha. People who want success in worldly activities, they approach the demigods. Lord Shiva is known as Ashutosha, one who is very quickly satisfied and gives you what you want, even if it's not good for you. Several examples are given. A well-known example, Ravana. Ravana is one. This Vrikasura, who wanted the the boon that whoever's head he would touch, that head would shatter into thousands of pieces. And Shiva, yeah, okay. All right, take it. Which was not auspicious for anyone, least of all Vrikasura. But Krishna is different. He may not easily give you one, what you want. Muktinda Dhatina. What is that? Smanai Bhakti Yoga. Something like that, isn't it? Muktinda Dhati Smanai Bhakti. I can't remember exactly. But Krishna may easily give mukti. Not very easily, but more easily. But not very easily, devotion to himself. Because by devotion to him, he becomes subordinate to the devotee. Aham bhakta paradhino, he says. I'm subordinate to my, I'm dependent on my devotees. So Krishna is, by nature, his ontological position, as stated in the beginning of the, his essential position, as stated in the beginning of Bhagavatam, he is Swarat, he is independent. But later in Bhagavatam, we find him telling Durvasa Muni something which appears contradictory. It's contradictory but not contradictory at the same time, because he says, I am adhin, I am subordinate, I'm dependent on my devotees. But then, who he lets into his circle? Entry by permission only. It's a secret club. In these days of conspiracy theories, there are the old boring ones like the Freemasons. What are they doing? You don't have Freemasons in Russia, do you? I don't think so. It's a real... Is it? Yeah. Oh. So it's some secret society. That's a boring old conspiracy theory. It's, they're getting more interesting now with lizards coming from outer space and things like that. But Krishna, it's a secret club. It's Vedeshu Durlabham. How is Krishna to be known? Vedeshu Sarvairahameva Vedyaha. Krishna is to be known by all the Vedas. Gyanagamya. Can be understood by knowledge. In this verse, Krishna says, although in other places, it said that, what is it? Naivam jnana na tapasa. Not by ordinary knowledge Krishna can be approached. But Krishna's intimate dealings in Vrindavan, that's a secret club. Not usually revealed. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has revealed that. Otherwise, normally, Boraja Jubatya Bhavera Bhakati Shakati Hoitoka. Who could have revealed the... And when Basu Ghosh, the writer of this song, says this, he doesn't say Krishna's loving dealings with the gopis, he says the gopis' feelings for Krishna. Who could have revealed that? Boraja Jubatya, the young girls of Vrindavan, Bhavera Bhakati, the feelingful bhakti. Who could have revealed that except Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So it's a very secret club. And entrance is limited. And one has to go through a series of tests. Has to go through a series. One has to come to that level. Just like we have what? We have first initiation, second initiation, sannyas initiation, you can become a guru and a GBC, and what is thereafter? The BBT trustee. None of these things matter, actually. The only real thing that matters is love of Krishna. You say, first initiation doesn't matter? Second. It matters only in as much as we take it as a, or understand it to be a step on the path to pure devotional service. So the real first initiation is accepting the mood. Anya bhila shita shunyam jnana karma dhyana vritamana kulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti rutama. That's the real entry on the path to the lotus feet of Krishna. Anywhere, either in Vaikuntha or in Ayodhya or in Dwaraka or anywhere, but especially that selfless devotion to Krishna without any personal desire whatsoever, that becomes pure, 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 purest, intense in the pastimes of Vrindavan. And all the pastimes. It's not only the gopis. It's even the stones melt. The river flows the opposite direction. The cows, they become insanely affectionate to their calves. Even the calves are older than their newly born calves, but because that calf is actually Krishna, then they become so much attached. So it's a very secret world. And how to go there? By invitation only. And we'll come to that. I have to come to that point. But that's Narottam Das, who spent his whole life lamenting that he couldn't. He was in Vrindavan and he was kicked out. Not exactly kicked out. That gives an idea of get out, you're useless. But no, you're so great, you have to go and share this with others. But he was simply thinking, Kobe Lokanath More Shongai Loya Jabe Shirupa Shirupa Pada Padme More Shamar Pipe. When will Lokanath, my guru, take me with him and offer me at the lotus feet of Rupa? Rupa means Rupa Goswami, Rupa means Rupa Manjari. So it's a very secret club. And it's very high to go to a holy place compared to being a mosquito or a coronavirus germ. I guess that's some kind of living being, is it? Or a frog jumping around trying to catch some mosquitoes. It's very, very high to have a human birth and to go to holy places, even to ask for material boons. That's very developed compared to being a rock star in New York City with no idea of Vedic culture whatsoever. So that's a very high level, but still it's a very, very long way from what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us. But it's a step on the way. It's a step, still it's a long, long way to go. And unless we get the mercy of the devotees, then it may be taking a step, but it becomes like a step on a treadmill. We don't really go anywhere. Shrama evahi kevalam. That verse is in relation to Varnashram Dharma. So Varnashram Dharma is the system for Varnashram Acharavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnur Aradhyate Panta Nanyatatosha Karanam. Varnashram Dharma is the system whereby worshipping Vishnu swakarmana tam abhyacha siddhim vindati manavaha. By worshipping Vishnu according to the Varnashram system, we can attain perfection. But if one doesn't worship Vishnu, if one doesn't get the idea that actually in Varnashram, there's Vishnu is there. Shalagram worship is there, minimally. Jarasandha was worshipping Vishnu. He was a Vedic Kshatriya, you could say. So he's worshipping Shalagram. But he was a demon. So unless one gets the proper idea, Varnashram can be treading on a treadmill, not going anywhere. But if one gets the proper idea, then one can gradually ascend. But in Kali Yuga, Varnashram is broken down. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an easy process, or circumventing the Varnashram system, which doesn't necessarily mean totally rejecting it, but not relying on it. And actually, in any age, we shouldn't rely on the Varnashram system, because it, in and of itself, eho bhajya, it is external to the real goal of life, which is love of Krishna. So various attitudes in going to holy places, various people, they're more or less getting in the right direction, but they don't really know where they should be going. If they're in the Vedic culture, but they don't have an idea of Vishnu. Nate vidu swartagatin hi Vishnu. They don't know that the goal of life is Vishnu. So there are certain followers of the Vedic culture who believe that by following all the rules given in Shastra, then the gods are duty bound. If you do your duty, your dharma, then they are obliged to do their dharma, which is to give you the result. And in this way, there's no real need to worship the gods. But you may do as a formality, but it's by your own strength. This is the karma mimamsa idea. That you follow everything, you get the result. And now all this God worship, this, that, that's not required. So that attitude may be there also in people who they go to various holy places and they expect to get a result. And someone who meditates in a holy place, I was talking about the Shaktas, they go to a Shakti Peet, a place of the goddess, deity, which is also a Siddhi Peet. It's once one person has attained Siddhi in Shakti worship, then others, they take a cue and they also go there. So there becomes an idea of if you do your austerities and you do all the ghastly things you're supposed to do in their mode of worship, then you must get the result. The deity is obliged to give that result. And in general, people are confident that the deity of the holy place will reciprocate. People take bath in the Ganga and they're confident that now my sins are washed away. Our accountant went to take bath at Ganga Sagar on the day of Ganga Sagar Mela. He came, I'm confident, now I'm liberated. He didn't read Prabhupada's books. He was making the accounts for the sales of Prabhupada's books, but he never read them. So he didn't understand that. But they have confidence and the deity reciprocates, and then they're materialistic people, when they get their boon, their faith in that deity increases. And this is the process that Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, yo-yo yang-yang tanung bhakta shodhaya chitam ichati tasya tasya chalang shraddham tameva vidadhamyaham. That in whichever form that people worship with faith, being devoted, I make their faith strong, immovable. Krishna does that. People at a certain stage, they need to be fixed on that stage. For them, that's required, because they're not ready to go up. And if they don't get fixed, if you're on a ladder and you can't go any further up, you don't want to fall down and break your head. So better just be there. Although you're not really anywhere, you're stuck in the middle somewhere. Trishanku. Stuck in the middle. Impersonalists, what's their attitude toward holy places? Well, they, or to deities, they see this is the form of the formless. Some idea like that. And the idea that the deity, the deity is a limited representation of the limitless power behind it. So they don't really think of the deity as being a person, or their whole idea of personality is that it's all an illusion. Ultimately there's no such thing as personality. There's no such thing as a person. Of course, they don't neglect to feed themselves every day. That's not an illusion. Just theoretically, it's all an illusion. So they think that actually that the form who everyone goes to see and pray to, they think, well, ultimately, anyway, it's all illusory. It's an offensive attitude. It doesn't really exist. This form doesn't really exist, but for less intelligent people, they think it exists. And anyway, my wife wanted to go, so take her along. And I also wanted a break, so got to go somewhere. So, you can go there. Most pilgrims, they go on a pilgrimage materialistically. They want something. But they don't, they ask for something and they don't want what Krishna really wants to give. You go to Tirupati and so many people go, give me this, give me that, solve this problem, solve that problem. And if the Lord says, okay, I'll give you pure devotion, detachment from everything, they don't want it. They don't want a life-changing experience. They want to remain in their imaginary position. I am such and such, and I need this and this, and you can give it. So you give it, and I'll take it, and I'll be happy. And anyway, you're happy, so what do you care? But what he really wants is that our life will change. But people, they don't want that. Indra was cursed to become a hog. He became a big pig. And then, he needed Indra back to do his job as head of the gods. So Brahma came and said, hey, come on, it's time to come back. What do you mean, come back? Go back to be Indra. Hey, what do you mean? I'm here, I've got my family and my children. And what do you mean? Indra, what's all that? Forget it. I'm quite happy here. I don't know if pigs make that sound, but that was a poor attempt at imitating a pig sound, the pig with hiccups. So, Brahma, he wasn't a Buddhist. It must have been before Buddha came. So he started killing off his children one by one, and his wife and all this. And eventually Indra had a realization. What was that? I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. No, I thought I'd better go back to being Indra. So most people, they're quite happy being pigs rolling in the stool of materialistic life. Happy means happy like a pig. Where is the happiness? They think it's happy. But for the jiva, who is by nature Sachid Anandamai, eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, at least we should see the position of a pig is most abominable. But then our position is not any better. It's just, but that's just gross, extremely gross. But everyone in material life, they have the same mentality as the pig. Let me enjoy this world through the senses. Nayam deho deha bhajam nilauke kashtan karman arhate virbhujamya. Everyone who's pursuing material happiness is like a stool eater. It's difficult to think of anything that anyone could do voluntarily which is more abominable and low class than eating stool. But Rishabhdev says that anyone who wants material enjoyment is on that level. And if one doesn't get the clue of Brahma Jignyasa, if one doesn't endeavor to go Parastasmat Tubhava Nyo Vyakto Vyaktat Sanatana, unless one gets a clue to go beyond this material existence, then one will end up as a hog and a mosquito. Very fallen species. That's the nature of material life. One's trying to be pious, but there may be some mistake in one's pious activities. King Riga ended up as a lizard, as the ultimate example of someone who performed so many pious activities, but he fell to the hellish condition of a lizard. So most people, they don't want a life-changing experience when they go to a holy place. But especially the dhams, Mayapur dham, Vrindavan dham, and any place where Vishnu is worshipped with love, that has the potential to instigate a change of consciousness in people, because the Lord is there and the devotee is there with their feelings for Krishna. That is something that people in general have not experienced before. They think that, well, wherever I went in the world, they only know about this lifetime. And they never heard stories from Shastra. Wherever I go in this life, everyone is selfish. I'm also selfish. They may not even think about it philosophically and analytically in that way, but they have that feeling that, well, everyone in this world is out for themselves. We were just discussing about how there's so much cheating in the marble business, they're making deities. I just heard from Srila Prabhupada, he gave an example that the goldsmith, is a Bengali saying, the goldsmith gets some gold from his mother to make a ring, some piece of gold and to make some jewelry. And immediately he's thinking, how much shall I take for myself? Because the normal thing, the goldsmith is supposed to take the gold and fashion it into jewelry and give it back. But the goldsmiths, habitually, they take a little bit, they won't get noticed. Or the people who make silk saris, they take a little bit, not supposed to, they get noticed. So the goldsmith, this Bengali saying that the mentality of a crooked person is so crooked that even if his own mother gives gold, he's thinking, at least he's considering to cheat her. Such is the mentality. It becomes such a habit. So when people come in contact with others who really have no desire in dealing with you than to benefit you, they're not used to this and they can't believe it. They're used to dealing with people in a manner where every exchange is a combat, where each is trying to extract something from everyone else. And of course we have rules and norms of civilized behavior. Just like if you go and work in an office, there are office rules and norms, and you're expected to sit down and do your work and behave with others in such a way that the work is facilitated. But all the time in the office, you won't say to the person next to you, or you won't get a hammer and smash him on the head, but you'll say something sarcastic or make some joke about their moustache or something like that. You must know very well. The rule is there, but you just take it to the full limit to try to put the other person down. And if you're nice to the other person, you're nice for your own benefit. That's for this whole... Where's that? How to make friends and influence people. Behave nicely with people and then they'll be nice to you and you'll get your job done. That's if you ever had the idea to read that book, that's the summary of it. Rather than being nasty to people and then they won't want to help you, you be nice to them and then you can get what you need done. So it's all selfish. So when devotees, they actually are selfish, people can't imagine. That can affect a great change. And that that is supposed to be in the holy places. We may be disappointed, just like devotees. They go to Vrindavan and they think everyone's going to be a pure devotee. Well, in one sense they are, but in another sense, the sense that we can practice, that we here on this side of the Virata, that we perceive it, they may be pure devotees, but they often don't behave like we would expect pure devotees to act. So that may be a bit of a shock. Hare Krishna. I'll stop there. Shall I stop there? I'll speak for another 10 minutes. Is that all right? We have time. And specifically think about Mayapur, because I often recommend that take someone to Mayapur. If you can't. My wife doesn't want to be Krishna conscious. My husband doesn't want to be Krishna conscious. My children, take them to Mayapur. And a very good chance there'll be a life-changing experience. To see the beautiful deities and all the devotees dancing in Kirtan, the whole atmosphere. So there's a possibility, a good possibility, that if they somehow or other they go, and of course over and above everything there's the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, You may not want to take them very long. Srila Prabhupada, so we often used to hear, although we don't hear it much nowadays, that Prabhupada said you go to Vrindavan for 3 days or 3 years. And you just go, bow down, but if you spend more time, you become familiar and you say, why is it like that? Why is it like this? Or you spend 3 years, which means you go there for service, do some committed service. And to stay 3 years in Vrindavan is a great achievement, especially in those days in the 1970s when there are no facilities. And devotees didn't even know that they're supposed to put mosquito nets on to stop themselves getting malaria. And then must have been the second time I visited Vrindavan and going around, why are all the devotees sleeping in the daytime? And I asked, why are you sleeping? He said, oh, we all got malaria. Just after the rainy season. They didn't know they're supposed to use mosquito nets. And for instance, the basic things they didn't know. So it's very, very difficult physically, mentally, and even spiritually, because if one makes offenses in Vrindavan, then one's spiritual progress is put back. One doesn't go forward, one goes back. Mayapur is the Audarya Dham of Audarya Dham. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Audarya Dham, the abode of munificence. And his dham, his residence, his eternal abode, is the greatly munificent, merciful dham, Navari Dham, none different from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But still, if one is less fortunate or not interested, it may be one goes to Mayapur and comes back and nothing seems to happen. Actually, whoever goes, that is to their great, great good fortune. But it may not register in their conscience. They may think it was a nice place, nice gardens, nice. But they think nice like it's nice like going to see some tourist attraction. Many people go as tourists. Most Bengalis are fish eaters. And they may refrain from that while going to Mayapur. Actually, there was a move some years ago. There was going to be a fish restaurant set up in Mayapur. I mean, not in any of the mats or in ISKCON, but on the road. And then all the mats, all the Gaudiya mats and ISKCON got together and combinedly they got this stopped. So that shows that the people who are going to make a fish restaurant, that means that they knew people would be ready even coming to Mayapur to eat fish. It means they're not in very spiritual consciousness. If they're Vaishnavas, then they know fish eating is not so very good. If they're Shaktas, they don't care. In Bengal, I used to see in rich people's houses, two kitchens, one for the deity and one for the family. In the deity kitchen, pakka, no fish, no chicken, no onions, no garlic. In the next room, they have the kitchen for the family. And everything they just said no is yes, there. So they know it's not right. And I'd meet people and they'd tell me, see, I don't eat chicken or eggs or meat. Okay. Fish? A little bit. Or they tell you, yeah, I'm vegetarian most of the time. Maybe only once or twice a day. And the rest of the time I don't eat fish. So most of the time I'm vegetarian. So they know it's wrong. So coming to a holy place, at least they may refrain. But then they'll go back to doing the same thing. One thing I must say, that by the influence of ISKCON's preaching in Bengal, and definitely it's a group effort, but we have to give a lot of credit to Jaipitaka Maharaj for this, because he had the vision to spread Krishna consciousness very widely. He saw the potential there. That I can tell one incident. About 2 years ago, I was in Narasinghdi, a town in Bangladesh, and I mentioned in my talk that when I first came here so many years ago, there was not a single vegetarian in the town, even though there are so many Hindus. Quite a big Hindu population in that town, majority Muslim. And I said, now there are hundreds and hundreds, shota shota ache. And then someone corrected me, hazar hazar ache. Thousands and thousands. So, that's very good. I mean, they've become vegetarian, not because they, not for some health reason primarily, but because they're Vaishnavas. And this is, they were Vaishnavas before, but they didn't know. Or even if they knew, it didn't seem very important to them. I've told these things before. I'll tell it again. That one devotee who was a Bengali devotee, Ramananda Rai, his name was. And I was speaking with him, and I said, well, what's wrong with fish eating? In my village, everyone, they're all Vaishnavas, they all eat fish, and our guru eats fish. He was initiated, I'm not sure whether he was initiated at that time by Jaipitaka Maharaj, but that's what they think. See, the guru eats fish, then everyone eats fish, and we all chant Hare Krishna. So it's hoped that by coming to the holy place that people get something happens. Something in their consciousness. I am the servant of Krishna. Especially holy places connected with Krishna. And the holy place connected with Shiva and Durga, there may be a spirit of renunciation, of going beyond this world, of something higher. But in the holy place connected with Krishna, then the actual meaning of tirtha, of crossing out of illusion, tamasima jyotirgama, and coming to the real position, our real constitutional position of service to Krishna, we hope that that may awaken. But most people, they don't think, I'm going on a pilgrimage, but they expect to go and come back and be the same. Ayappa, 40 days they do. Brahmacharya they're supposed to follow. Although one time I was in somewhere, Nellore I think it was, and I was staying, and they put a bunch of Ayappas in with me, and they brought some prostitutes, and anyway, at least they're supposed to. And I'm not saying they all call prostitutes. No meat, no cigarettes, no sex, no this, no that. And the idea after 40 days we'll go back to it. That's the kunjara socham. It's the bath of an elephant. It's already planned. It's only for 40 days. Means they don't want to change actually, but the real idea is to tirtha, take us over, come out of this humdrum life of punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, again and again getting born, and again dying. This Ayappa thing, and they have the Om Shakti cult for the women side by side. I think a lot of it is, it's like getting together in a club with your with your friends and you do something interesting together, like that. So I think it's something like that, like in the Western country, I don't know in Korea, but you, young men, they go together to a soccer game and they all go 200 miles to the other side of England and yell and scream and have a fight maybe with the others and come and drink together, all go to the pub together. And it's a feeling of togetherness. So in Indian culture, there's that camaraderie. It's on a better level, but that feeling is they're doing things together, feeling part of something. So actually our ISKCON temples, they're meant to be for taking people over, not just taking them in. They come in and they go out. Come in, give a donation, go out. We want to take them in and send them out with Prabhupada's books and implant in their heart the seed of desire. It may not, we don't expect it to happen immediately with everyone, but that's the aim, that their life will change. And actually, it's only in ISKCON centers that people come and they get preached to. People don't expect to get preached to. Is it? You don't expect to go to Tirupati or even Sri Ranga or anywhere, and someone will come up to you and say, take this book, human life is meant for God realization. No one's going to say such a thing. So they're not really expecting that, but that's why we make these centers. Otherwise, we don't need big centers, and we can chant Hare Krishna anywhere. We can worship a deity. We don't need big deity. We have a little deity, very small deity. We see the followers of the personal associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they mostly worship very small deities. Even you see Radharaman, of course he's self-manifested. But in Bengal, if you go around, see they're very small deities that they worship just as their own personal worship. And the idea of temples for preaching to attract people, that really came up with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, first of all, did that within the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Otherwise, in other places, people come and they do some ritual puja and they go. But we don't want to become like that. We don't want to become just like some other temple. It should be a different experience, and it should get some spiritual experience and some education. And that's why Srila Prabhupada, he wanted dioramas in all the temples showing the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, the pastimes of Krishna. That, of course, his idea he took from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. That people will come and at least they'll see this, these pastimes of Krishna. They at least get some spiritual education they should get. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.